Jason.
Hi there.
It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. I mean, I know that it makes me trashy for knowing what Febreze smells like, Scotty. But, I mean, come on. Come on now. All right. No, this is totally true. This guy, I wonder if I can get this to play. Do you have is my computer up here?
Which one are you going to go with? London Gentleman or... Wait. No. Hold on. Blackbeard's Delight. No. She has a special cologne. It's called Sex Panther by Odeon. Illegal in 9 countries. Yeah. It's made with bits of real panther. So you know it's good.
It's quite pungent.
Oh, yeah.
It's a formidable scent. Stings the nostrils.
In a good way.
Yeah.
Brian, I'm going to be honest with you. That smells like pure gasoline.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Clean, this is Tim Riley.
Okay, all you kids who play with the Xbox, you better listen up. All you movie doctors out there, Microsoft says it is actively investigating possible fraud on its Xbox online video gaming service. The investigation comes after gamers reportedly had their accounts hijacked and their credit card information stolen. In a statement, Microsoft said, quote, recently there have been reports of fraudulent activity in accounts that are taking place on Xbox Live Network. The network currently has more than 6 million subscribers.
I got Microsoft won't ever actually confirm anything that has gone wrong anywhere ever. In Microsoft's world, nothing has ever actually happened. There's just reports, allegations, rumors, innuendos, nothing, speculations. Nothing ever actually eased the problem with Windows Vista or with Longhorn or with Xbox Live. Doesn't matter.
Meanwhile, Apple TV is now shipping. Apple is now shipping Apple TV, an easy-to-use and fun way to wirelessly play all your iTunes content on your Mac or, heaven forbid, your PC.
I hear that smug self-satisfaction in your voice.
On your widescreen TV, including movies, TV shows, photos, and podcasts, cost $299, but everything from Apple works superfluously, and it's always fun to use, isn't it?
Here's the thing. You know, the thing about... Never mind. I'm just going to say this. I'm just going to say that I do know in some ways what it's like to be an Apple user, even though I am not. And I will say that because I use an off-brand MP3 player. I do not use an iPod. And so does Sarah. In fact, Sarah and I have exactly the same MP3. We have the Creative Zen, which is it's a fine product. But I do say I know what it's like to be a Macintosh user in a Windows world because I am a creative user in an iPod world. And you can go to Fry's. God bless them. You're going to find just aisle after aisle after aisle of accessories and gigaws and tchotchkes for the iPod. And then there's just like this one tiny little sad basket where everything is marked down 20%. There's everything else. And that's what it is. It's just a pile of remainders. Just a pile of leftover things for other MP3 players that aren't the iPod.
A burlap covers.
Totally. Exactly. That's totally what it's like. The only thing you can get online for... Would you like this free Slim Whitman album? There's nothing that works for it. So anyway. And I'm at that point where I'm going to have to...
buy an iPod.
Don't do it. I thought you were going to resist. We're going to be the last two people to not have them.
I know. And then there will be nothing. That's the thing is, eventually we'll have no choice. Eventually with that creative, I'm going to buy it, and I'll call, break some tape, I'll call the company, and it will just be a whole lot of the number you've reached has been, and they'll all be gone. So, but my creative is starting to break down. The battery is starting to go down on it.
So's mine.
I'm at that great fork in the road where I'm either going to have to buy the iPod or I'm going to have to go with the
iPod.
Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Okay, so now that we got that out of the way. Top local story today, a former Woodburn coach and teacher got a state reprimand. That's a finger wagging. For biting the thigh of one of a half dozen. Oh, he only bit one thigh of a half dozen wrestlers, not both thighs. Apparently, these wrestlers, these kids of his, tried to give him a wedgie. So I guess, what else is he left to do except bite them in the thigh? At a December 2005 practice, the teacher standard and practice commission said team members tried to give Peter Parash a wedgie jerking his undershorts upwards. We all know what a witch he is. At least six wrestlers weighing between 180 and 215 pounds each came up to Ms. Parrish. Mr. Parrish, this is a man now, from behind in an attempt to give him a wedgie. In the process of getting the boys off of him, Mr. Parrish bit the inside of a wrestler's leg, leaving distinct teeth marks. The commission called this gross negligence of duty and put him on probation for 2 years and said Parrish must complete a class on appropriate behavior and write an apology to the student he bit. Parrish, who's then the assistant wrestling coach, he teaches high school social studies at Woodburn, but he no longer coaches.
Well, there's just so much to address here. So, first of all, he's a wrestling coach. So there's something a little wacky about him to begin with. Mm-hmm. And I don't say that because there's anything wrong with wrestling. I'm just saying that based upon my own experience. First of all, there's something really wrong with gym teachers. I don't mean as a profession. Like, you can be, whatever, it's not that there's anything wrong. I mean, the young saplings have got to learn somewhere how to play whatever it is, pickleball or whatever it is they play in school now. I'm just saying, in my experience, everybody I ever knew who was a gym coach had something really wrong with them. They were all morbidly obese. I don't know what that's about. How is it that you can be a gym coach? I guess it helps when your job, as my gym teacher's job was, is just to sit in a golf cart and drive along the edge of the track, like flogging the students and making us run faster.
Really, my gym coach was pretty cool.
Really?
Yeah,
was it a man or a woman?
It was a guy.
All right.
Well, he's also the track coach, too.
Was he in shape?
No, he was older. I mean, he wasn't some big buff
but
guy.
But I mean, was he fat? Is what I'm asking.
No,
I'm trying to find a polite way to ask it.
No, but he was actually really inspiring. He's one of my most inspiring teachers. Convinced me to go to college.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Your gym coach?
Yeah. Well, that's probably because he was my track coach, too.
All right. Well, I didn't know you ran track. Really?
Yeah.
I learn things about you every day, Sarah Dillon.
Well, I did a lot of throwing events, and I did pole vaulting. I was actually the first girl pole vaulter at my school. You didn't know that?
No.
Oh. We've known each other for like 5 years now.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I feel like we're closer now. I'm just saying, when I went to school, the gym teacher was just this big fat bastard. Huge. And I swear to God, he would make us run, whatever it is, the circumference or whatever, like he would make us run around the football field like 15 times. And fat a-hole would just drive next to us in a golf cart, yelling at us through, like, keep it up, run faster, in a megaphone. Couldn't be bothered to either raise his voice or, you know, walk behind us in a golf cart. Anyway, so what are these? So these wrestlers all sneak up behind this wrestling coach
and try to give him a wedgie.
So what are you supposed to do? Stand there and take it like a man? I mean, what? You come up to give somebody a wedgie, they're not obligated to accept it. It's not like something that's a return to
take another step and I'll bite your thigh.
I do think it's great that he left teeth marks and that the kid himself was just such a sissy. Was this here?
Yes, it was.
Did they reveal the kid's name? Did they reveal the name of the student?
I'm looking here. It does not. No.
He's probably a minor, so they probably did not. Mm-hmm. He's a minor. They probably did not reveal his name. Since they did not reveal his name, I will simply say to whoever you are.
Okay, the student and the family did not pursue a complaint.
Oh, really? So who pursued the complaint then?
The district felt obligated to report the incident to the state.
Well, how would they ever have known? Somebody must have squealed.
You know how kids talk. Probably on that MySpace.
On one of their walkie-talkies. all right. Well, anywho. So there you go. Well, somebody squealed. Don't be a snitch. It's not manly. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, from California comes word. An Orangeville, California woman is behind bars, accused of repeatedly trying to kill her husband. Her alleged weapon of choice? Wasps. As in the things that fly around and sting people. The woman's neighbors in Oakdale said they're not surprised. The Stanislaus County Sheriff's Department arrested Angela Nalini for soliciting murder and criminal conspiracy. Nalini reportedly attempted to hire a family friend to murder her ex-husband. She reportedly paid the friend who took the money and then went to Mr. Nalini and told them of his ex-wife's plan. Police said Nalini had threatened other friends in an attempt to have her husband murdered by having the friends place wasps in the ex-husband's vehicle so he would be stung. The ex-husband is allergic to wasps.
Oh, that's creepy. That's totally, and that's one of those things where you can totally see the horror movie aspect of it just unfolding in your head. He's just driving down the, it was probably something like putting the wasp in the glove box or something. So at some point he'd have to reach in there to find something or other. Like she'd probably call him on the cell phone and go, could you just look at the glove box and see if I left my good sunglasses in there? Then he's driving along 55 miles an hour. This is the curse of having a good imagination, is that you can just see these things in terrifying five-reel Technicolor. Because you fill the glove box full of, I say, instructing everybody how to kill their husband using wasps. You fill the glove box. First of all, where would you even get that many wasps? How would you
I'm
even...
I'm a wasp dealer.
From a waspateria. I don't even know why that phrase is funny. Waspateria. From the local waspery. So, I don't even know how you would wrangle the wasps. This story doesn't make any sense.
A wasp wrangler.
But I guess you would fill the glove box full of wasps, and that's a funny phrase, too.
Have your friend the sheriff pull him over and ask for his license and registration.
Is it just me, or all of these phrases hilarious? Glove box full of wasps is hilarious for the same reason that Sex Panther is hilarious. It just doesn't make any sense. I'm in a new band. We're called Glove Box Full of Wasps. You would fill the glove box full of wasps. You'd send him to the store to buy milk. Halfway to the store, you'd call him as he was halfway there. You'd go, "Hi, can you look in the glove box and see if my good sunglasses are in there?" He opens the glove box. Wasps come out. Bam. One dead husband. There you go. That's how you do that. In case you... But you shouldn't. That's not a thing you should do.
Here's well, you're not going to be able to do it very much longer because all these bees and wasps are going to be dead. A nationwide phenomenon of bees mysteriously abandoning their hives has hit the Rogue Valley hard, and nobody knows quite why. I take old Don Redneck, who lives down in southern Oregon. All his bees are disappearing. He says, "I've only got 300 colonies left out of 4,000. It's almost put us out of business." Noting that each hive is worth $150. The beekeeper suspects that bees may have died from syrup they were fed, a manufactured high fructose corn syrup, that when overheated can produce a chemical toxic to bees. Apparently, huge populations of bees are missing and now presumed dead.
I thought bees ate honey.
No, bees manufacture honey. They don't eat it.
What do they eat?
Honey is left for us to... honey is put in those bear-shaped containers. That isn't for the bees.
God bless them. God bless the bees for building those bear-shaped containers with honey. The bear-shaped containers.
That's for us. It isn't for them.
The bear-shaped containers, which grow on bushes.
Right.
Next to a taffy river. Sarah's mouthing the word pollen. Bees don't eat pollen.
Well, they don't eat it.
What do they eat?
I don't know.
What do bees eat? Little Miss went to college.
Well, they eat this high fructose corn syrup.
Okay, I don't think in nature they find the high fructose. There is no dextrose factory.
Let's see here. Ron Jacobs, the director of the Southern Oregon...
Schmidt.
He's the director of the Southern Oregon Beekeepers Association.
No one laughs.
Says he may have to go back to a pesticide called Gaucho, which was banned in France after a bee died off from what was called mad bee disease. This is an absolute problem.
This is a true story we're reading. I love the show and everything about it.
The Southern Oregon's news source, the Mail Tribune, on the Mail Tribune, M-A-I-L Tribune.
I was going to say the Mail Tribune.
Yes. The ladies can read it too. It is a social page.
Manly, yes. But I like it, too.
It's about bees, and it would be a manly pursuit.
They died of mad bee disease, really? Mm-hmm. How would you even tell that a bee was mad? They're always buzzing and stinging as it is. Seriously, what are they...
Well, they conducted an autopsy, apparently.
In one, the bee seemed cross.
And they had they ate the pesticide Gaucho, which killed them.
I don't think the bees eat pesticide as, like, their preferred meal.
Well, yum, yum, bring it on. Where's my pesticide tonight?
Nothing makes sense anymore at all. I think that maybe
we'll move along to another story.
I think that maybe all of us are coming a little unhinged.
This might shock you, but Chinese restaurant food is now said to be unhealthy.
I'm shocked.
It is loaded with sodium, saturated fat, and calories, and even the veggies. We don't want to put all the blame on the Chinese food, says Becky Lehman, nutrition director for the Center for Science and Public Interest. Across the board, American restaurants need to cut back on calories and salt. But your average Chinese restaurant is full of this stuff. People have to make smart choices. While Chinese food is bad for your waistline and blood pressure, sodium contributes to hypertension, as does other vegetable-rich dishes, and a kind of fat that's not bad for the heart. So try not to eat at Chinese restaurants, will you?
All Chinese waiters are trying to kill you with sodium. The thing about Chinese food is it is really good, but it's so salty. Most Chinese food is so unbelievable to our Western sense of
taste. Well, how about an order of 16 pork dumplings? 500 calories.
How about that?
They're pan fried.
Have you guys ever had, what is it? It's that soup. It's like a Vietnamese soup. It's called pho hung, I think it's called.
They're all over you. It's spelled P-H-O-H-U-N-G.
There used to be that restaurant on Hawthorne.
Yeah, yeah. There's one on Powell now, too. There's like one on right by the Firestone Tire Store. And that soup is so great that I think it's called pho. I think that is the name of the soup. It's P-H-O, but it's pronounced pho. And the soup is fantastic, but it is so unbelievably rich that, at least for me, you get about halfway through and you feel like you just need to go sleep for like a year. And you don't even, and you can feel the sodium, like, you can feel like sodium stalactites forming in your stomach as you eat it. I mean, it's unbelievably salty. It's really good. But you can feel it taking years off your life. All right, there you go. Mad bee disease. Here's Tim Riley.
A Virginia man lucky to be alive today after a Jeep crashed into his bedroom, trapping him in his bed. Dean Blevins was sleeping in his apartment, but an alleged drunk driver lost control, slamming through his bedroom wall. He was pinned under the Jeep as hot radiator fluid dripped upon him. Remarkably, he emerged with only cuts and bruises. The driver has been charged with driving under the influence. Oh, look who's on Capitol Hill. It's Al Gore. We've all seen the movie. Some of us saw him when he came here, so we all know what he has to say. Milo Lewis, who's with the Competitive Enterprise Institute, I wonder who's paying for that, says Gore, who is testifying before Congress today on global warming, distorts the evidence, and he doesn't know what he's talking about, says Milo.
Mr. Gore is presenting a metaphor rather than actual science in order to describe the condition of the planet. The planet in no sense has a fever.
Who is this?
This is Marlo Davis of the Competitive Enterprise Institute.
I think Marlo Davis has fever.
Dance fever.
He says the temperatures are normal and Gore has no basis for his theory.
So we're within the natural range of climate variation. Mm-hmm. To talk about a fever is just rhetorical flim-flam designed to frighten
flim-flam.
People.
Flim-flam.
It's Richard.
He's a flim-flam man.
It's flim-flam. It's a bunch of... My lexicon is failing me today. It's flim-flam, which is a lot like what, Tim?
A flam-flam.
No?
Let me back.
Okay, thank you. There's a word that's like flim-flam that I'm looking for. It's a lot of...
Hooey?
I was going to say hooey, but I didn't know if that's where the funny was. It seemed like the comedy might have been in another word, but I didn't know.
I like hooey the best, if given a choice.
4 out of 5 Tim Riley's approved.
Texas Republican Ralph Hall warned about the cost of global warming policies and said remedies won't matter if the big polluters like China, India, and Mexico don't do something about their problems.
Policies that will cost our nations a lot of money and won't stop global warming in the future. Moreover, it's clear that other countries who are major polluters are not willing to help offset the giant cost entailed.
Yeah, all right. This is Frank here on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
Bees basically eat pollen and nectar.
Now,
so they come by and grab nectar from flowers and they are attracted to sweets.
You're sure that bees eat pollen?
Yes, they do.
I thought that it just inadvertently got caught on their legs like cat fur.
No, it happens to be a byproduct of their feeding habits, so that they can cross-pollinate other flowers and that kind of stuff. But they are actually feeding on the pollen as well as nectar on the flowers and other plants that they run across.
All right, excellent. All right, cool. Thank
All
you,
right.
sir.
Take care.
God bless you. That's Frank. Oh, this is, here we go, Rick. The word you were looking for is folderol. That is exactly the word I was looking for. Thank
I've
you.
I've never heard that before.
Matt, really? It's a lot like flim-flam.
Like balderdash.
Yeah, exactly. See, we also would have accepted balderdash.
Is it too late to have it accepted? No.
No, it's true. The time has passed. It's too, the curtain has come down on that news story. Well, we'll get it next time around.
Meanwhile, Al Gore said, we have no time to be playing around with this global warming stuff.
The new evidence, let it be said here, that's come out just in the last few months, shows that this may well be even worse than has been described.
All right.
So he's here today.
You're all going to die of something. Seth, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
I think the word you were looking for is malarkey, but apparently I'm wrong.
Malarkey. We also would have... Hold on. I'm going to write these down. Hold on. Folderol. Malarkey. Malarkey. Also, balderdash. Yes, balder. See, any one of those would have worked. All I could come up with is hooey. The three of us, and Scotty was typing the same. Tim, myself, and Scotty, all the ones came up with hooey. That's all we could do. All right, hooey.
That's okay, it's hump day.
No. Thank you. There you go. Thank you, Seth. Seth's editorial reply. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Well, what does all this have leave the president with today? Well, the president, he didn't call a press conference. Of course, he's expected to say something every day. And today he talks about the link between terrorism and American dependence on foreign petroleum.
I know that when you're dependent on oil, and the objective of some of the terrorists is to destroy oil networks, it creates a national security problem for us.
So when that's brilliant. So when terrorists are designed, okay, fine. Go ahead. I'm going to hold myself back.
You want me to continue?
Well, I mean, do I want you to continue? Do I want to hear more from George Bush?
That's all we have from him today.
All right. Well, thank God for that. All right. It's a series of tubes. All right. I don't even know where he was speaking. He was talking somewhere where there was just some enormous hum happening in the back. I have to be honest. Can I just? Here's the thing. I don't even really listen to him anymore. He talks, and I'm just sort of full. I mean, it's like what? I think he's just gonna be. I think he's never gonna top any. I don't think any of the great sayings in the past, putting food on your family and gynecologists sharing love with their female patients. I don't think we're going to get another one of those. I think they're keeping him so tightly reined in. I think that they're really, really scripting all of his speeches very carefully. They're making sure he doesn't get off the teleprompter very often. So I think it's going to be a lot of pain, no gain. I don't really think we're going to get any more hideous malapropisms from him. It's just going to be a lot of tedium and dullness. They've even stopped him from saying the word nuclear a lot, too, because they don't want him to be mispronouncing it in public. So at this point, he's just sort of become a non-issue to me. Like, he sort of gets out there and sort of mouths a lot of things, but I don't really pay that much attention. Here's Tim Riley. I've moved off of him. Here's Tim Riley.
Oh, here's another bee story. I forget to add to the other ones. This comes to us from Hollywood, glamour capital of the world. There's a new buzz in Hollywood. Columbia Pictures is bringing back comic book hero the Green Hornet to the big screen. The crime-fighting exploits of the Green Hornet have been chronicled for decades on radio, television, and comic books. And today, Sony Pictures said it's making a motion picture on the newspaper hero. Neil H. Moritz and Original Film will produce the movie. Columbia Pictures presents The Green Hornet. With a radio show, television program, comic books, and novels, there's an ample source of material to bring this crime fighter to real life. The Green Hornet made his debut in 1936 on WXYZ Detroit, and was the creation of the station's George W. Marshall Trindle and Franz Strecker writing team, who also created The Lone Ranger. The series ran until 1952 on Mutual and then NBC Blue. The Green Hornet ran in several comic books, and in 1966, the character was turned into an ABC TV series starring Van Williams as the Green Hornet and Bruce Lee as Kato. It ran for one season and can be seen on the Retro Channel at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Now, is this what we had this whole discussion about?
Yep. We had this recently.
But I forget what it was. It was some discussion about Kato and Tonto or something.
In China, the Green Hornet is called the Kato Show.
The Kato Show, which is fantastic. Which is sort of like in Beaverton, this being called the Scotty J Show. Mike, speaking of which, weren't we going to do that this week? Weren't we going to do another exciting installment of the Scotty J Radio Show?
I think today might be that day.
Such a bad person. Just because he's drunk. Mike, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey, Rick. Another good word is flummery.
Is that a real word?
Yeah, flummery is balderdash, nonsense, things like that.
Flummery. Please, is that the two M's?
Flumery, I think it is.
With one M, flummery.
Yeah, flummery. Flummery.
All right. Excellent.
And the Green Hornet is, the Lone Ranger is the Green Hornet's uncle.
Okay, that's what it was. I knew we learned something interesting about those two characters. The Green Hornet is the Lone Ranger's uncle.
Yes.
All right, fantastic. Let's all commit that now to memory. See, so often, there are things on the Rick Emerson Show, little bits of pop culture, detritus, and flotsam that I know or that Tim knows, but that not everybody. We are now sharing with everyone. Let's all stop and recite now. The Green Hornet is the Lone Ranger's uncle.
The Green Hornet is the Lone Ranger's uncle.
All right. Thank you. See, now we all know. All right.
Now, and write it down so if it ever comes up again, you can have it at your notes.
We should start a whole file of things like that. Things that we have learned on the Rick Emerson Show that we did not know before we came in.
Yeah, but then you'd be searching the files forever and not be able to find it again, so.
That's what I got Scotty for. Thank you, sir. That's Mike. All right, take a break. We'll come back. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You take a break. Back after this, we got Jim Roop on the way later on. Ed McCarthy, top five. More from Scotty J. Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth and so forth. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Show. Rick Emerson Show. It's AM 970 Salad State Radio. Now, we should... Well, let's make a note. Hold on. Note to myself. Scotty. Jay. Fantastic. 503-733-2970. It's Rick Emerson. I'm just looking at this description of Scotty's cologne. Scotty's wearing a cologne called Cuba or Cuba, depending on who you are. I am reading... I swear to God, this is directly from their website. This is exactly... And the guy provided a link here, and I had to verify this is exactly what he says. Scotty is wearing this, quote, cologne, which smells a lot like Febreze. Maybe it's just meant to work well with Febreze. They made it like, you know, the way that, like, corn is meant to work well with certain meats and gravies. Rick, after a little internet research, here are two descriptions of Cuba, which sounds like it's probably as much of a cologne as a circus goldfish. He's a beloved pet. This one says, Cuba gold is an exotic fragrance for a man. It contains... vetiver, that sounds made up, lavender, jasmine, thank you, vetiver, whatever, lavender, jasmine, and...
Vetiver vegetant.
Yes. And woody notes. It is recommended for romantic wear.
And woody notes?
Woody notes.
That's not sexy.
Woody notes just aren't sexy. Cuba Gold by... The company that makes it is called Frag Lux. Cuba Gold by Frag Lux, a division of Dow Corning, is a luxurious blend of orientals. It's a luxurious blend of orientals and florals.
No wonder he says oriental.
I don't know what that means. What does it mean?
Scotty could understand the packaging, so he bought it.
This cologne is made with real orientals, Rick. What does that mean, that the cologne is made with orientals and florals? This masculine aroma is a sophisticated with an exotic touch of bergamot, lavender, with a manly blend of wood and jasmine. Cuba Gold is for the romantic night out. All right, there you go. Thank you.
Does it make you kind of uncomfortable that Scotty's wearing a sexy cologne to work?
Made out of orientals. Here's Tim Riley at the...
Well, he did take a Mrs. Out last night.
I don't think that was by choice. I'm not really sure.
That's the rekindling of passion.
No. Here's Tim Riley. Have her Britney watch.
Fantastic. Oh, yeah.
Here's your Britney watch for...
Well, Britney Spears has left rehab after completing a four-week program at the Malibu Treatment Center and has pleaded with the world's media to respect her privacy.
You can't use the media to ask the media to be left alone for the media, as Drew Curtis would say.
The troubled star, who checked into Promises Rehabilitation Center last month, was being treated for substance abuse. It's unclear whether or not the 25-when she left. Former 80s pop sensation Deborah Gibson blames Spears' behavior on the pressures of growing up too fast.
I think a lot of artists do feel the need to, like, keep their edge by doing things that are slightly daring and scandalous, but then it comes at a personal cost to them, and I think they don't realize that till it's too late.
Sarah, will it creep you out if I just say that I think Deborah Gibson is probably just the hottest, nastiest girl you could possibly imagine at night when the curtains are shut?
What even possesses you to say that what is going on?
Because I was just listening to her speak, Deborah Gibson. Can you play that again, please?
Sure. You just said it's sort of, you know, what do you want for your birthday? And I...
I don't believe that's different.
Yes, she sounds sexy.
Daddy like.
Open it up.
No, stop. No, you're
ruining. Quietly confident.
Why must you ruin everything?
Now, I think a lot of artists do feel
ruin need Debbie
to,
Gibson
like,
for me.
Their edge by doing things that are slightly daring and scandalous, but then it comes at a personal cost to them, and I think they don't realize that till it's too late.
I sounds like Paul Abdul.
Okay, but here's the thing about Deborah Gibson.
You're kind of freaking everybody out. You're like swaying back and forth. She just seems nasty.
I like Deborah Gibson because she's a blend of Orientals and wood. It's just, here's what it is.
Why? Why would you say something like that?
Because she just sounds it. She just sounds that way. She sounds way too level-headed and normal and calm and controlled to not be freaky in some way. As opposed to, like, Britney Spears, who I suspect is probably, I mean, I have no way of knowing, of course, and God only knows what you do when you're just out of your mind on cocaine or whatever, but don't you just suspect that when all is sort of said and done, that Britney Spears is probably just not all that interesting in bed?
Mm-hmm.
Despite all of the stupid, and she had a wild night with some strippers and a whatever, if really hanging out with strippers is still what constitutes a wild night for you, I think you really got to get out more. I think probably at the end of the day, Britney Spears is not all that interesting. That would just be my speculation. I mean, what's his guts? That idiot from Louisiana, Jason Alexander. I felt like I won the sexual lotto, but it doesn't really seem like he leaves the house a whole lot. So I'm pretty sure that going to Vegas may have been the first time that he passed the end of the road and went by the general store. So I don't really know that he's, like, worldly enough to weigh in. You hear Debbie Gibson talk, or Deborah, I keep wanting to call it Debbie Gibson, but Deborah Gibson, how she wishes to be known. She just puts off this vibe there's something underneath the surface. I think that's why she was always a little more compelling than, like, Tiffany, who was considered her big rival at the time in the 80s. Because Tiffany just seemed all surface, didn't seem like there's anything underneath. Debbie Gibson always seemed like there was sort of an undercurrent of, like, of complexity or sort of intelligence underneath the surface. You know, coupled with the fact that she's very artistic. She wrote all of her own songs, she did her own arrangements, she did all of that. And at a really young age, like 14, 15, 16, she was writing and doing all of her own music. And then she was in, what is that, Broadway? She was in some Broadway play where she was all nude and whatnot. I'm just saying, and I don't think I'm alone here. I think if you went up to the average guy my age and said, Tiffany, Debbie Gibson, you know, who do you, I think she really is the...
Tiffany wasn't really cute to begin with.
No, she had that unfortunate nose.
Yeah, and I just remember her hair was always frizzy.
She looks way, way worse now, though. She had a bunch of plastic surgery and just, that's all bad. I'm just saying Debbie Gibson, she sounds hot.
That wasn't what you said.
Old enough now, I think I can say that. She does wish to be my special friend. Let's quickly, Kevin, hello, sir.
Rick.
Hey.
Long-time listener, back to the unpleasantest days of KOTK.
Thank you, sir.
You touched on many things. One of them, did you know that Debbie Gibson was Playboy 2 years ago?
Debbie Gibson? Really? Deborah Gibson?
Yes, she was.
I didn't know that. Did she look good?
Very good.
Yeah, yeah, she's cute. She was always... And the thing... Here's the other thing about Debbie Gibson. Is that I think she's probably... I haven't seen her, but I think she hasn't aged badly. I think she's aged well because she wasn't hot. She wasn't cute. It wasn't like so many of those girls where it's dependent on youth. A lot of girls have beauty that is youth dependent.
She was the girl next door type look.
Yeah, totally. Totally,
and
yes.
So, she and the other Pop-Tarts from the 1980s were all in Playboy, so that was a good thing. Yeah. You know, I liked them both.
I'm going to go hunt that down.
Anyway, two things. One, can you listen to your show on the internet if you're, say... You know, in Timbuktu.
It is not streaming, but I will tell you this. It is not streaming, but there are a couple of things. And I'm glad you mentioned this, actually. It's a good way for me to have to do it myself. But then it feels like I'm just whoring myself relentlessly. The fine people in the Emerson Army have been putting up the archives and podcasts of the show for a long time. God love them. God bless them. We'd all die for those guys. They're great. They're wonderful. They've been helping us out for forever on that. And B, at the station website, which is 970.am, they've started to upload daily podcasts there as well. I think it actually just started like a day and a half ago. I did. So I even forgot to mention it. So I'm glad you you reminded me of that. On Monday, I think it started.
Yeah, thank you very much. Third and last thing. I talked to you about 2 months ago. You were talking about the Green Hornet thing, Lone Ranger.
Right.
I brought up the Kato show thing that's known in Beijing and other places of China. The previous caller got it all wrong. It's the Lone Ranger is the uncle. Green Hornet is the nephew.
Oh, it's see, now I got to go and I got to relearn it all now.
Yeah, how could you be the uncle when you're, you know, 100 years older or at least 50 years older? Because the Lone Ranger was set essentially in the 1880s, and the Green Hornet was set in the 1930s and 40s. But
that does make sense.
Dan Reed, Britt Reed, that was their relationship. One was the uncle, one was, Lone Ranger was the uncle. And anyway, the thing is that this movie was supposed to come out in 1994, and it was George Clooney was supposed to play the Green Hornet, and Jet Li was supposed to play Kato, and then George Clooney upped around within a couple of days of filming or pre-production work in Hollywood said, well, I don't want to do this because I got a better offer to play Batman, and you know how badly that went.
Yes, yes.
So, Jet Li was supposed to play Kato, and that it would have been a hot movie. It would have been great. But,
wait, so now is the movie, I'm so unclear, now is the movie really, is still going to happen?
Well, they've been talking about it ever since then, but no one's come up with the financing. That's the problem. You can get some people together, but you have to pass it to the studio heads, and Hollywood people really don't really care about the movie. They just care if it makes any money.
Really, the fortunate thing for me here is that I don't really care about any of this. So fortunately, I don't have any emotional investment in this.
Well...
No, I'm not trying to...
I'm not trying to be rude.
I'm saying... Look at all of the look at how stressed out I get over every development in every movie, in many ways, I'll be so glad when some of my favorite television shows and movies aren't in production anymore. Like when The Shield and The Sopranos go off the air, in many ways, it'll be happiest days of my life because I won't have to worry anymore about every development, every rumor, every bit of gossip. So I'm just saying, because this is the sort of things that wears fanboys out. It really does. So,
well, I guess the only thing you have left to do for the rest of the day is to have Sarah thank you live on the air. That'd be fun.
Okay, we're going to end this call now. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks so much.
Awkward.
Okay. Still think I was too harsh with him? Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Well, it's about time we celebrate Rosie O'Donnell's birthday, isn't it? She's 45, or allegedly so. The live ABC broadcast today featured performances by the cast of Less Miserable, The Color Purple, and A Chorus Live. O'Donnell said today, when she was asked for a Broadway-themed celebration, she... What's this about? O'Donnell said today that when she asked for a Broadway-themed celebration... Oh, she asked for a Broadway-themed celebration to celebrate her birthday, and she was surprised that she actually got it. This device...
Well, this plays a run on the what the toilet says?
I was right there with that just in case it didn't work. Thank God. I'm sorry. As soon as there was the slightest lag, I didn't even wait for you to get the problem fixed. I just leapt on the retard sound.
Well, we might have to come back to this later.
Well, this plays a run on the what the toilet says?
You just said it sort of, you know, what do you want for your birthday? And I said casually, oh, let's do a whole show of Broadway.
And you got it.
Some days later, they said, all right. So, you know, we're going to start asking more often.
Barbara Walters read her a horoscope.
Well, I'm quietly confident. Wrong
horoscope.
I think quietly is the wrong adjective. It's an adverb.
And march to your own drummer. So far, right?
Okay.
You need to express yourself. And you did not make this up. And you have the courage.
Work on that.
You have the courage to do so.
It's just like squawking. They all talk over each other. Oh, I want to rip my headphones in half.
Well, there is this old saying in broadcasting. It is one of those bits of homegrown wisdom. And some people will claim it's an old wives' tale, but some people claim it's conventional wisdom. There is this thing they always say in broadcasting, that women don't like women. Usually they say it about radio. But I suppose they might say it about television, too. But they always say that women don't like women broadcasters. And I don't know whether that's true or not, but I will say this, that Rosie O'Donnell is so loud and shrill and just such a bellowing ox of a woman. The problem is then Barbara Walters, who is typically very soft-spoken, everybody then has to be louder so they don't get completely overshadowed by Rosie. Everybody has to ratchet up the volume level on that show, and so it just becomes like a big pecking party with just like the five most unlikable shrill housefrows that you have ever heard in your entire life. So...
Especially in the beginning of that clip when they're all... It sounds like birds squawking. It literally does.
It really does.
We have a sister's play the run over what the toilet says?
God almighty. All right, there's Tim Riley.
Well, let's go to Texas now for this enlightening story. At a chillingly calm... Oh, this is Theater of the Mind time. At a chillingly calm voice, a Texas man told police he shot his wife and left her dying on the floor of their home last night.
I shot my wife in the stomach with .38.
Is she still there?
Yeah, she's lying on the floor.
And what is your name?
Freddie Wilhite.
Where's the gun at?
What?
Where's the gun?
It's in the closet.
He told the 911 operator he killed his wife because she was a nag.
Why did he do this?
She enticed me, and she would ridicule me throughout my lifetime.
Okay, and you're at 8432 Gifford?
That's it, baby.
Said Don Imus after shooting somebody.
He checked to see if his wife was still breathing.
I say she's alive.
Sir?
She's alive.
Good God
almighty. Are you alive or are you dead?
Was she dead?
Yeah, she was dead.
Oh. I say she's alive.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sir?
She's alive.
I need to
open it up. Remember what your son said?
It's all relative.
Yeah.
It just goes on.
Very creative, Joy.
Oh, God. You know they talk about nails on a chalkboard. That show is like having tenpenny nails driven into my heart and having them pulled out with a claw hammer. Jeff, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Well, you were talking about these Orientals being made from real Orientals.
Let's clarify what we're speaking about here. I'm sorry. Why
I have nothing to do with that story. Don't look back over here. Someone
I don't even know why I said that. I apologize.
It's okay. We're talking
about Scotty's sex
panther. Scotty is wearing a cologne today called Cuba, which comes in a big cigar-shaped dispenser. Let me see if I've got to...
I don't think there are any Orientals in Cuba, are there?
Well, now listen now. I'm reading the description here. Unless anybody think that I'm being insensitive, this is the actual description from the company.
Is that a picture of it?
From the company's website. They do... Let's see here. This is at blah, 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 Cuba Gold. Okay, I'm opening it now. This is the webpage from Fragalux. Right here. So there you go. That is right there. These are the containers. Cuba Gold by Fragalux is a luxurious blend of Orientals with a blend of florals. This masculine aroma is sophisticated with an exotic touch of bergamot, lavender, and a manly blend of woods and jasmine. Cuba Gold is for the romantic night out. So there you go.
I was just going to say, I thought I'd heard somebody say, you know, was it made from...
Now,
yeah. I was just going to say...
No, hold on. Now, before you say this,
yes.
I'm going to give you a few seconds to think about whether this is a comment you'd really like to say. Hold on a second.
Right.
Just so you can ponder whether this is something you really want to have linked with your name for the rest of the day. All right, there you go. All right, Jeff, have you decided to go forward with the comment or not?
Can I change my comment to something else?
Okay, but now you got to ponder it again. Hold on. Okay, you think about it. Decide if this is a comment you really feel you'd like to make on the airwaves. All right, Jeff. Now, what have you decided?
I don't know. You know, my cousin Walter had a comment to make once. I don't know. Are they made from real Girl Scouts is what I was going to say. Are what? Girl Scout cookies made from real Girl Scouts?
How do you feel about your decision to go forward with that comment?
You know, I definitely won't be downloading the podcast to this hour today.
All right. Thank you. All right. There you go. Thanks. There you go. Thank you, sir. All right, 503-733-29, all that wasted time. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, all right. The Bay City Rollers are being heard from again because you asked for it. The BBC reports that this time it's through a lawsuit against Arista Records. The members claim the record company owes them millions of dollars in unpaid royalties. The Scottish group, yes, they're from Scotland, not the Bay City. They say Arista has withheld payments from album sales, merchandise, commercials, film rights, ringtones, all during the past 25 years.
How much money could there really be how much money to withhold could there be?
Well, the group's single Saturday Night went to number one in 1976.
You had that look like we're waiting for a soundbite.
No, I'm waiting for you.
Well, is this the play to run on the what the toilet seat?
I'm going to do that every time there's a lag. They had, Bay City Rollers had Saturday Night, which everybody knows. But then they had, I think, three other hits. And I know this because one of the guys from the Bay City Rollers was on the Don and Mike show, I don't know, about 6 weeks ago. And Don was just like, hey, can you play? And can you also play? And the guy, man, there was a whole bunch of songs that, like, Don and Mike knew every word to. So, and I guess they still tour. A bunch of them have gone to prison, I think. And I think some of them are dead. But you know what?
Weren't we talking about them last week? Or
we were.
Some reasonable facsimile.
We were. Bay City Rollers tribute band. We were because they were on that newsletter that we got from the Wolfman Jack Entertainment Company that also wanted us to book Great White and or Brewer and Shipley, which is so unbelievably tempting. I never did check into the Great White thing to see how much it would cost us. But we can also get the Bay City Rollers. Yes, we can, Tim. Let's do a few more here. This is the AM 970 Noon News Hour. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Tim Riley.
Well, now that it's spring, the Cleveland Clinic recommends you go work in the garden. Where? You may not realize it, but the Cleveland Clinic.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, with the spring season here and warmer weather also, many folks are heading outside to work in the garden. The Cleveland Clinic's Dr. Yvonne Braver, the director of plants, says you may not realize it, but tending to your plants and flowers can be good exercise. Whoops. It just crashed.
Well, is this this place to run over what the toilet seat?
Yes, Dr. Braver says turning your garden into a 30 to 60 minute exercise routine is very healthy.
So people always consider exercise as something that you have to get very hot and very sweaty and, you know, work very vigorously. A lot of people can't do that. But anytime you're out there moving and working and bending and stretching, it's exercise and it's very good for you.
What kind of a place are they running there at the Cleveland Clinic?
We have to go visit there.
Seriously, she sounds unnecessarily aroused by the whole prospect.
Well, she warns, the first time you grab your gardening tool, please don't overdo it.
Especially when you're getting out after a long winter and just getting out to gardening, make sure you take your time. You're going to get a little achy, so bend and stretch before you exercise, before you do your work. Work out those muscles.
I'm just picturing her in a leotard covered with a thin sheen of sweat.
It's springtime in Cleveland.
Giving me a bit of advice.
The most wonderful time of the year.
In Cleveland. It's the best time ever to be in Cleveland.
That's how they can.
John, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Oh, Rick Emerson, how you doing?
Hey,
first off, I want to say I love your show. I
understand
you mean Georgia and I want to marry you. But I want to talk about the cologne that you're talking about, made from real Orientals or whatever.
Yeah.
I can tell you what that probably means. It's like last week. I made a hacky sack out of an Oriental and I kick it every day and it's awesome. Like, it works really great.
That's not really telling us what that means.
Well, no, I mean, I just, you know, I love making things out of Orientals, Rick. And I was hoping maybe you had the same, you know, idea about making things out of Orientals that I do. But, Rick, I'm at work and I have to get going right now, but I love you. And shout out to my friend Nick.
All right. Thank you. Is it too late for the,
Yeah, too late.
All right.
Too late.
Too late. It's too late. All right.
What are we doing with our lives?
Steve? Hi. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi. Hey. I'm just wondering if you guys didn't think that that guy in Texas on that 911 was the most weird, bizarre, creepy thing you've ever heard in your life.
I actually heard the full night. Now, Tim just played some isolated sound bites from it where the guy is like, I'll check in my wife to see if she's dead. I listened to the whole thing this morning. The whole call is about 4 minutes long, and it's damn creepy because he calls 911, and there's lots of. It's got to be just the weirdest job to be a 911 operator. What's that?
He sounded drunk.
Well, he's drunk and he just killed somebody. So that's doubly weird. I mean, if not triply weird. And
great.
He... Okay? And so you listen to the whole call, and the 911 operator, clearly they are instructed to keep people on the phone at all costs, to never let anyone hang up. Because there's like these long periods of time where, like, he will quit talking, and she'll be kind of going, sir, you know, are you still there? We're gonna make everything fine. We're gonna, you know, everything's gonna be okay. And then the creepiest part, not to make light of it, the creepiest part of the calls, though, are when sometimes you'll be like, yeah, so my wife was taunting me, so I had to kill her. And then he'll stop talking, and he'll kind of just do this.
This is like, what, really, that whole thing?
Pronounced breathing. I'll try to find it later so I can play it. It's pretty creepy, but I mean, it's interesting in a sort of perverse way. All right, thanks.
Show loves the creepy stuff.
It is.
Well, I listen for every day. They're the creepiest story of the day.
Well, thank you, Steve.
All right, thanks, guys.
There you go.
Well, hopefully we lived up to expectations.
Oh, you don't even know. I haven't even talked about this thing that puts barbs in your penis. Let's get.
Oh, I guess you haven't. I would remember that.
Yeah, that would stand out. That on the show.
All right, God. Yeah, first of all, I'd like to say, yeah, that cologne smells like a Mexican flea market. And second, I'd like to just remind everybody to.
She's gonna.
It's because of spring, as the Cleveland Clinic explained to us not too long ago. And the absence of bees.
I believe the last part of that doesn't really
why
matter.
Why? It got made it on Coin 6.
Seriously. I guess I voted. I believe the part where the guy said vote with a rifle. Well, there you go. I just said it. No, I'm not telling you to do that, though.
All right. We got a break.
It's 503-733-2970. Coming up, Ed McCarthy, Jim Rook, Top 5, more of Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. And we'll ask the magical question, is Scotty J having a midlife crisis? You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. You're in the Japan.